In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, we don't want the reign of Christ. This is the cry of the criminal mob described by the hymn of this feast, Te Seculorum Principes. For this feast of Christ the King. Unfortunately, these words sum up the spirit of our age, and that puts us in a difficult situation. Every Catholic should desire that Christ, who is King, should be recognized as such by the nations of the world and publicly. Before going further, let me say, I tried and failed to achieve my objective. You're in for a long sermon. Say a little prayer to your guardian angel to help you keep paying attention. We are speaking today of Christ as King. And if we're talking about a king, we're necessarily talking about the state, the ruling power of the nation. Let's start first with some first principles. The state, like everything else, belongs to God. It exists only by God's providence, God being the absolute cause of all things and He who preserves them in existence. God owns the state. It's His property. We are just its caretakers. Christ is King, first and foremost, because He is God, and therefore the sovereign Lord of all things. As man, He is also the real sovereign of every nation on earth. Christ's human nature being united to the divine nature, which carries with it absolute authority and dominion over every created thing, both individually and collectively, Jesus Christ, therefore, as man, also enjoys the same rights and privileges. So His kingship is first based on the divine, on His divine nature. In addition to that, however, He also acquired His right of kingship by conquest. As has so often been the case throughout history, this king had a usurper making a false claim to his throne, and he had to win it back. The usurper was Satan, who had brought on the fall of the human race, was in some sort keeping his charge over the human race. Christ, however, won our redemption by His death on the cross. He won it back. He won us back. He is thus our king by right of conquest as well. What this means is that when the question is asked of any given nation, who is the ruler of your country? Well, in the strict and proper sense, the answer is Jesus Christ, as God and as man. The civil authority, whoever that may be, president so-and-so, king or queen, whoever, this merely human authority is only the placeholder and the deputy of Jesus Christ, our King. Our Lord, both as God and as man, is the real chief executive officer of every nation. Catholic nations of the past, especially those of Europe, in the religious and political reality known as Christendom, realized this by the explicit profession of the faith by the state. This was known as the Catholic confessional state. And it is the fullest expression of the ideal described by Pope Pius XI in his encyclical Quas Primas, promulgated in 1955, which instituted the feast we celebrate today. Are there any among you who honestly wonder how desirable this is, having Jesus as the King not only of our hearts, but also officially of our nation's ruling power? Well, for one thing, in my opinion, living out our faith in public would not be such an uphill battle all the time. Imagine if the ruling class actually used the power of the law to favor the rights of the church and to favor your eternal salvation. Try to imagine for a moment how much more tranquil would be our struggle against temptation if the power of the state were actually used to check or even repress and suppress the spread of false ideas, of false philosophies and religions. And if the purveyors of vice, those who peddle immodest images via multiple forms of media, no longer would unscrupulous individuals make their living and get away with making their living at the expense of your soul. Now think a moment on what we've become so used to putting up with. One political party that's all in on the murder of unborn children and the total upheaval of traditional family values. And on the other hand, another political party which is a little bit less all in on the murder of unborn children and the upheaval of traditional family values. Well, it makes me feel a little bit like a character in a Charles Dickens novel. I want to walk up to someone in charge and ask meekly, may I have something more? Now, how do we reconcile our adherence to the doctrine of Christ's kingship in certain nations, particularly our own, who have enshrined the principle of the separation of church and state? Is there a path forward to the social kingship of Christ and the official confession of the Catholic religion by the state in a land where such an idea is explicitly rejected on principle? What are the steps to achieving this? It starts with recognizing that this social kingship of Christ is what Holy Mother Church has always taught it to be. And it is only a will to cover up or render obscure this teaching which would cause us to reduce the dimensions of the feast of Christ the King, bringing him down to the level of being the king of our hearts only, and not also of human governments. This teaching, though, is clearly laid out by Pope Pius XI in his encyclical establishing this feast, Quas Primas, of December 11th, 1925. The Pope quotes his predecessor, the great Pope Leo XIII, who wrote, "His empire includes not only Catholic nations, not only baptized persons, though of right belonging to the Church, have been led astray by error, or who have been cut off from her by schism, but also all those who are outside the Christian faith. So truly the whole of mankind is subject to the power of Jesus Christ. Nor is there any difference in this matter." I'll repeat that. "Nor is there any difference in this matter between the individual and the family or the state. For all men, whether collectively or individually, are under the dominion of Christ. In him is the salvation of the individual. In him is the salvation of society." So why is it that some, even among our fellow Catholics, often cite Christ's words, "My kingdom is not of this world," as a supposed proof that he in no way intended the Catholic faith, the religion he left us, to be enshrined as the religion of the state? I do not know, but it seems to me misguided. We sometimes hear from these same individuals the refrain, "Christendom is dead," reminding us that the old medieval order of the union of the Church and the Holy Roman Empire is no more, and that the best we can hope for is some sort of benign but unofficial influence of the Church over our elected leaders. Well, Christendom may be dead, but Christ was dead too, and he was resurrected. It may be too much to hope that our generation will ever see the kingship of Christ acknowledged by our government. So be it. Ours and the next generation will have to continue the combat, a spiritual combat. Let us ever be wary of falling prey to the revolutionary spirit and mentality. The first revolutionary was Satan. We, as Catholics, are by definition anti-revolutionary and counter-revolutionary. And the work of the conversion of our nation is going to be the work of God, whatever little part we have to play in it. But perhaps our children or our children's children could live to see this. That would make all of our struggles worth it. However, Christ will never be accepted by the majority of men as the king of our nation if they do not first see that he is the king of our hearts. Our unconverted neighbors will never accept, and we will never do, what it takes to achieve the enshrinement of the Catholic religion and official and public recognition of Christ the King, unless our charity is real and recognizable, like the first Catholics, the early Christians, the pagans said of them, look how they love one another. And that was what converted souls. Our neighbor must see that we truly love the one whom we profess as our king, and that we serve him before all others, and that we love others for his sake and from the heart. I cannot escape the conclusion that a big determinant in leading to the present state of society was the gradually crumbling degree of the ardor of faith in too many Catholics. In centuries past, it seems that to a certain extent, they took their blessings for granted, precisely because they had the power of the state at their disposal, and the faith was more or less ambient and culturally accepted throughout society. Many Catholics became relatively soft and tepid, and a kind of staleness of religion set in. In certain corners of the world, grave abuses in the church and the state set in, and the church found herself in a weakened position when facing her adversaries. Worst of all were the enemies she had to face during the French Revolution. Ugh, the French Revolution, that most repugnant, notorious, and bloodiest of all the anti-clerical events of European history. And the result is the secularized state of society today. I don't think I'm inventing a theory when it comes to the gradual erosion of ardor and true charity in so many hearts. Plenty of classic spiritual authors, saints whose books are published by traditional Catholic publishers like St. Alphonsus Liguori or Venerable Louis of Granada, they frequently address this problem, how lukewarm Catholics have become in their works. And this is centuries ago. Our Lord himself complained to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque that in so many souls, even those consecrated to him, by the bonds of religious vows, he found almost nothing but coldness, ingratitude, and contempt. If Christ truly is our King, and he is, our having a heartfelt and abiding love for him, a love surpassing all others, is not an option. And this love has to pass from our heart to our actions. Remember, our Lord made it quite clear in the 25th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew that when he comes again on the last day, we will be judged according to our works. If you love me, keep my commandments, he said. And also, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. By our continued perseverance, therefore, in the love of Jesus Christ and the thirst for his kingdom on earth, of justice, love, and peace. May Christ the King reign forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.